Ira Glass is the creator and host of the popular public radio show This American Life. It's been on the air for almost 20 years now. More than 2 million people tune into This American Life every week, and the show's been adapted for TV, film, podcast. Ira's storytelling has inspired many young listeners to pursue careers in radio. I spoke with Ira yesterday and asked him about his alleged influence on those future radio producers.
You are, and I quote, the radio gateway drug for a generation of aspiring producers. So how does that feel?
It's funny, Jay Allison, a radio producer, called me the Pied Piper of public radio, which is great until you realize, like, what the Pied Piper does is he leads all the rats off the island into the sea. So,
you haven't done that, Ira.
Yeah, but not yet anyway. Not yet.
If I remember you telling me this story or somebody this story once upon a time, you came out of traditional sort of NPR-ish producing and tape cutting.
Oh, yeah. Totally. Immediately before then, I was a reporter and a producer for All Things Considered and Morning Edition and was on those shows all the time and was on the staffs of those shows. And I feel like the kinds of stories that I liked to make for those shows were what I was going to make the new show. And at the time, I just felt like, well, there's a kind of story that I like doing for those shows that I'll just make a whole weekly show out of. And so at the time, I was producing David Sedaris for Morning Edition, and I was doing stories for All Things Considered that were narrative stories with characters and scenes and funny moments and emotional moments. I was just like, well, this is the kind of story I like, and, you know, you could just make a whole show out of this.
And somebody said, here's some money, why don't you go do it?
It wasn't quite. I ran into somebody in the street who had $200,000. Yeah, no, I got a grant for $5,000, and I made 3 pilots one summer. And then from those pilots, we were able to raise another $200,000, and that was our first year.
I would imagine you have more money for it now and a lot more clamor, because if you are indeed the radio gateway drug, there are a lot more people who are wanting to participate in some way. And I don't know if that is sending you their stories or come calling to you, please show me how you put those stories on the air. Do you get both of those kinds of things?
Yes, we do. And frankly, it makes the show more interesting and easier to produce. There's at least one thing on the air probably every episode that's just from some stranger who emailed us. And some of them are really amazing stories. Like there was a story that this reporter did that he had been studying pedophilias.
I heard that story.
And yeah, and he found a group of teenage pedophiliacs who didn't want to molest children. And they found that under the law, they were in a very odd situation, because if they were to declare what they were, therapists might decide to turn them in to the cops. And so they didn't know what to do for help. Like, they didn't know where to get help. And in fact, if they'd gone to therapists, some of them did, some of them didn't, like, there isn't actually a real protocol for how to treat them, because the whole thing is so shunned. And it was a weirdly sympathetic story about people who want to molest children, but don't want to in this case. And that just came, you know, just somebody contacting us.
Ira, what is it in the germ of a story idea that makes you and the folks that you work with say, yeah, this is the one?
It's funny, because this is a good example, because you need somebody who can be sympathetic, which is a weird thing to say about somebody who wants to sleep with children. But what made this particular, you know, the main person in the story sympathetic was that he didn't want to do it. Like, he knew it was wrong, and he wanted help, and he didn't have anywhere to turn. And he told stories that made you feel sympathetically towards him. So the first thing you need is you need somebody you can relate to. It'd be very hard to do a story without anyone to relate to at all. And then, you know, it's like good if it's funny. It's good if it's emotional. You know, you need it to be surprising. That's a big thing. And it's some sort of mix of those things that together make you want to try something. And honestly, like, a lot of times when we start, we don't know what's going to work. Like, we start way more material than ever ends up on the air. We probably kill half of everything we start.
That's a lot. A lot.
Yeah. For broadcasting, it's a lot. Mm-hmm.
Storytelling is something that humans have been doing for eons. How has radio storytelling evolved in the time that you've been doing This American Life? And how is it different, I suppose, from storytelling in general?
I mean, when I started This American Life, there was a certain amount of storytelling on the air. But I think mainly what was happening on public radio was the news. And then you'd have an occasional show like Prairie Home Companion, where obviously there's radio dramas and real stories, and Garrison Keillor tells stories. But that was pretty much the only 2-hour block during the week when that was happening. And he's doing it in a very sort of old timey way. That's super effective and really fun to listen to, but very old timey way. There were a bunch of us when I started making This American Life who were doing stories like the ones that we put on This American Life, where there's characters and scenes and funny moments and emotional moments. You just get caught up in the plot. You want to find out what's going to happen next, which is the essence of a story, is that it has forward motion and you want to see what's going to happen next. And there were a bunch of us doing it, but This American Life became such a visible example of it, because it would be on every week with an hour of the stuff, you know, like just there hadn't been a place like that in a while, and doing it in a way that seemed more, I think, contemporary, where it seemed like we were people who had grown up with the movies, you know, like we had seen movies,
yeah.
Which, you know, when you hear the aesthetics of Garrison Keillor, like it's pre-motion picture, you know, radio drama. And that version of radio drama is a very old-fashioned version of radio drama. And so to do things which were stories that were exactly human scale in the way that a film is, and the people are real size, and I think that seemed new. And then I think it just reminded a lot of people of how fun it is to listen to a story on the radio. And then a lot of people were just like, oh, I could do that too. And then so there have been a bunch of other shows which have come up doing really like their own take, their own spin on that, so that you have the Moth Radio Hour, right. You have Radio Lab, there's a bunch now. And I think it's just people realizing like, oh, radio storytelling is fun.
Radio storytelling is fun. And radio is a very particular thing, because you're telling a story to one person. And it got me to thinking about your television venture and how that experience affected the radio, This American Life.
Well, the main way that the television show affected the radio show is that the radio show got worse, because we were all so exhausted making the TV show, because we were doing them both at the same time. But otherwise, I don't think that doing a TV show affected the radio show.
Did it affect how you feel about radio?
Yes.
How?
Yeah, absolutely. It made me really appreciate it. It made me really appreciate what a cush deal radio is. In a number of ways, but the big one is just how much easier it is to make radio than to make TV or films. You know, just how quickly we can go out and get a story, and how cheaply too, compared to sending out a crew. You know, so you're spending $5,000 a day to just to like get the footage, and it takes much much longer to get the footage, and also like for TV, you can only do stories about things that you can see.
Exactly.
You know, and for a show like ours, where there's all sorts of amazing stories that people could tell you, but there's nothing to look at. Those were impossible to do as television. We needed stories where something visual happened also. So it's very restrictive.
You are operating in a landscape far removed from 20, 30, 40 years ago, where public radio was the alternative and nobody had any money, so everything was long. There's this push for things to be short and compete in the new media landscape. And I wonder what you think about the future of what you do and radio in general, or public radio, I guess, in general.
I mean, I don't know about public radio in general. Like, I know about what we're doing. And I can say that one of the things that we know from the success of our podcast and other podcasts which have long-form storytelling is that, contrary to a kind of popular wisdom that people want stuff that's short, I feel like it doesn't matter what length stuff is. I feel like that's what we've learned. All that matters is that this stuff is good, and that people will stick around for a long story if they get caught up in the characters and they want to find out what'll happen. And so we don't worry about story length. All we worry about is that it's compelling, and there's completely a market for it. You know, like right now, you know, the podcast of our show goes out each week to 1 million people download it. Hmm. And so it's huge. And there have been different experiments at what do people want to podcast. And for a while, there was a feeling of like, oh, people only want like short little stuff. But that didn't seem to go so well. And then there was a kind of like, people want to hear a couple of people who they can tune in every week, you know, chatting back and forth. And there is a thing of a size like that, like that you can do for 15 or 20,000 people. and be successful at that level. But I also think that, you know, people want to get caught up in a story, or, you know, like enough of them that you can make a business out of it. And so I feel like this kind of reporting and this kind of journalism is in an unusually good situation.
Ira Glass, host of This American Life. He's going to be at the Mount Baker Theater in Bellingham on Saturday, and Sunday he'll be at the Broadway Center for the Arts in Tacoma. You can hear more of my interview with Ira at our website. That's KUOW.org. It's The Record.